PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo.
Chilling. I was really hoping you were just going to end it right there. I'm your host.
Show's over.
That's it.
And that's it. The show's over.
I'm your host. We're moving on.
30 to 45 minutes of bed music that we do not have the copyright for. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Juicy Cogburn with his air horn.
That's why we talk over it, Chris.
That's why we talk over it. Hopefully no one pays attention. Hopefully, and that's why we don't upload to YouTube.
Yes.
Part of the reason why.
One of many reasons.
Also, the workload. And come on, can you really... We're not talking about YouTube right now. We are talking about...
Do you really want to read all those comments?
No, this comment section, disabled. Comment section, disabled. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. Get the comments. The trash fire of the internet comment section. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a bonus episode on cosplays and conventions. And to help us out with that, the only person... we've ever had on the show, I think, who's done cosplay stuff, right, Drew? I believe so. And
probably the only person that would ever admit to it willingly.
Well, now it's like a very popular thing.
Well, no, I mean, it's a very popular. Okay, but no.
Revenge of the Nerds.
What I'm more talking about is the majority of our guests are middle-aged, overweight men. Who do not look good in costume.
Hey, you know what? Maybe our guest will tell us whether or not that deters people from showing up in Wolverine costumes at conventions. But she was here a couple months ago. She's from the Second Rounds podcast. Also does the Phoenix Gate is the show that she hosts, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't host that show.
The Phoenix Gate?
Nope, that's a girl named Jade Phoenix.
Oh, get out of here.
Come on, Chris!
I'm going to cut this part out.
I'm just on the Florida edition.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
I can't do that.
I can't
cut nothing out.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Stash Boxer herself, Ashley, is here from the Second Rounds. Yeah. Oh, my God, that button didn't work. You saw that?
Yay.
I watched.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
How's it going, Ashley?
Not bad at all.
Turning up a little bit there on the mic. Last night we had here in this episode, by the time people hear this, the last bonus episode is that we had Tommy James, who we were
Tim
calling
Jim.
Tim Jim. Even though it should be Tom Jim.
You really bring it.
But Tim Jim is way better.
I'll bring it.
There you go. Hashtag.
Please bring it up.
I got it.
It's in the title of the episode, too. With Tim Jim and A-Town. Because
Tim Jim.
Because Alex, you were here. A-Town was here. Alex from the New York show was here hanging out with us.
Awesome.
So it's Tim, Jim, and A-Town. They should do their own like morning zoo crew show, the two of them.
They should. Yeah. Like Dingo and the Baby.
Dingo, Tim, Jim, and A-Town. I'm Tim, Jim.
All you got to do is give him your air horn.
Tim, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley.
Yeah.
You are now our resident cosplay expert.
Awesome.
That's all it takes.
It's
going on my resume.
Yep, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We did it. Seriously, though, when you go through your Instagram, it's called Stashbox Cosplay.
Yeah.
It's like mostly you in the Negan outfits or version. I've seen a couple of versions of Negan outfits. Zatanna? Zatanna. Do you know Zatanna, Drew? Mm-hmm. Is that Batman?
Yeah, DC.
Okay. And what was another one I saw on there? Was it...
Blunt Man and Chronic.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. Yeah, there's good stuff on there. That's good stuff. So how many conventions have you gone to so far this year?
Oh, this year I have gone to 4.
Goodness gracious.
4, yes.
All in here in Florida?
Yeah.
Do them all?
Yeah.
How many? And then you got another one coming up, don't you?
I've got one next month.
Next month. Is that the Tampa one?
The Tampa Bay MegaCon.
Yeah, I was about to say.
MegaCon.
Yeah, because there's MegaCon Tampa Bay, there's MegaCon Orlando. I mean, there's a bunch of comic and sci-fi.
And there's little ones everywhere.
Oh, the little ones have been going around since, like, the 80s. And actually, those started as baseball cards and collectible shows.
Oh, yeah.
And then comics just kind of got into it.
And then took over. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so you've been to four so far. Yes. What were the four? Can you?
I went to Spooky Empire. I went to MegaCon in Orlando. I went to Daytona Beach Comic Con, and oh crap, what was the other one? Oh, I didn't go. Never mind. I went to three.
Okay.
It was the Infinity Toy and Comic Con. Tommy went with that.
Oh, so that was a toy focused one. And then two of the three you went to was comic book focused. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Spooky Empire is actually more.
It's like, isn't that like horror?
It's horror.
Yeah.
Halloween
It's really fun.
I mean, a lot of these
conventions. That's where you get Freddy Krueger's signature.
I mean, I know they call them quote unquote Comic Cons and whatnot, and that was probably the. You know, probably 10 years ago, the original draw. But these days, I mean, these are just pop culture conventions now. I mean, they're called Comic Cons, but they do comic books, movies, horror. I mean, artists, this, that, the other. I mean, it is just pop culture crazy.
Well, it's all become so intertwined.
Well, no, exactly. It's just they tend to focus on it. I mean, New York Comic Con this year, there's going to be not only the comic book stuff, but the art stuff. And now they do, like, straight up, like, movie premiere things at these fucking...
They've been doing that at San Diego for a while now, the movie stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, can we really call them comic conventions anymore?
From what I've heard from the New York guys that do their show, their Comic-Con is now so exclusive. You have to have proof that you've been before.
Yeah.
And it's like invite only.
Wow.
Like you get an email letting you know when the tickets are going on sale and not everybody can just buy a ticket.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's a weird thing.
It's not how Bill, because Bill's been covering for a while now.
Well, I mean, he goes all the time. He goes every year.
He goes every year. He's been going for years.
Yeah. Well, once you're in, you might as well keep going, I guess.
He gets great pictures too. Check out Billy D Snaps on Instagram for some cool, for some cool cosplay stuff. If you go through his Instagram. He gets some really interesting pictures there. My favorite... All right, first five here for people. We're going to do this sort of Presbodiso Film School style where I have a whole bunch of...
Everyone has to listen to the paper in my hands.
Listen to the paper in my hands because I have the history of cosplay here. Right here, I have it. And we're going to go through it, and it's actually kind of interesting. The twists and turns of how it grew and how long ago it started. And we're going to talk about that. And then your experiences with cosplay. Drew, I was going to ask you, when was the last convention you've been to?
Last convention I went to was probably, I was in middle school.
Whoa!
There was.
So this is 1957.
No, we're talking like the mid-90s.
Okay.
This was, like I said, it was more of like a collectibles show. There was a lot of baseball cards. I actually set up my own booth. And sold
Pogs.
I did.
Yeah.
I actually sold my entire Pog collection like a month before it all collapsed. The great Pog collapse.
The bubble pops.
Yes.
Did you have any good slammers?
I had slammers. I had torpedoes. All sorts of fucking nonsense, and I cashed out.
We have a Pog slammer over there. It's an OJ Simpson.
Guilty,
one.
Not guilty.
On one side, it's him smiling and says it's not guilty, and the other side, it's mugshots as guilty.
Where do you find something like that?
I've had that. I've had it
since the great Pog collapse.
Yeah, I've had it since the great Pog collapse, and I got rid of almost all of them, but then I found the cash in my parents' attic recently, and I went through and was like, trash. I was garbage. Like, ooh, OJ. This is very timely.
Yeah.
Actually, it was right when the OJ series came. I was like, holy shit, this is crazy.
So yeah, I was selling magic cards, Pogs, and comics.
Look at this guy. He was hustling on the circuit back in the 90s.
Well, my buddy next to me, him and his dad were selling baseball cards.
All right.
So we went in on a... We split the table together.
There you go. Baseball cards.
Yeah.
I got... boxes of those.
Oh, dude, this
worthless.
This kid's dad. I really hope that this kid's dad like sold his collection it all collapsed. Because, dude, seriously, like this guy
had an entire
walk-in closet.
Mm-hmm.
Full of baseball cards.
He hung himself in that walk-in.
his poor wife.
She had to clean all that up. Poor lady. When was your first convention?
2011.
And was that just because you're like, I want to go to one, or was it with friends? How did that?
It was a guy I was dating.
Yeah.
He really wanted to go because he has, kind of like your friend's dad, a huge walk-in closet full of long boxes full of comics, and he always was up on getting them signed and all that stuff. And I was like, I'll go, and I had a blast, like so much fun. And I saw how the cosplay community was, and I was like, I want to do that.
Ah, okay.
Halloween's always been my favorite holiday.
So
and
why not do Halloween whenever you can?
Whenever it's socially acceptable to do so. Mm. So the convention came first, and then the interest in cosplay. Very, very cool. And now as part of the second round show, these guys, since the show is so comic book focused, so pop culture focused, you do, like, all of you, Eddie, Tommy, are all deployed. And then the New York guys, too, deploy Drew to all these conventions. And then the Instagram is just video after video after video.
I tell them, I'm like, we should kind of space this out. We've taken, like, 90 videos, and it's like, let's just spam everybody.
Like no. It's like next 2 days is a whole bunch of short interviews.
And we have no service at these conventions. Yeah. Yeah. So once we finally get some, you're getting everything.
Oh, that's why it's data dump. Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
That is hysterical. 2 ND rounds on Instagram for you guys to see all that stuff. And then for people so they can check out your cosplay stuff on Instagram?
It is at Stashbox Cosplay.
There you go. No space in there right
now. Okay. No spaces.
Good for you. Good for you. Spaces are for losers, as are underscores. Drew.
Chris.
When do you think the term cosplay was coined?
1989.
Ashley, you want to take a guess?
Ooh, I was going to say later. I was going to say around, like, 2000.
1984!
Really?
I was just trying to think, like, the first time I saw, like, cosplay, like, people dressing up at conventions, and then I'm like, all right, let's minus about 20 years.
Well, that's funny. that term cosplay was coined by a fella named Nobuyuki Takahashi.
Oh, of course. Goddamn Japanese.
Yep. From Studio Hard. I don't know what that is. He was attending the...
Sounds erotic.
Does it?
No, it's Japanese. So.
There you go. Attending the 1984 World Science Fiction Convention, a.k.a. WorldCon, in Los Angeles. WorldCon in L.A. So WorldCon 84. Thank you, Los Angeles. Good night. Shut it off. Went as a reporter. He was reporting, writing for a magazine, and he came up with cosplay. It's a mashup of two words, costume and play, pretty much the Japanese words for those two. And then he put it in a magazine called My Anime, but it took like a year for that to really start taking off as a word in Japan, and then just went off from there. When do you think the first cosplay at a convention happened? Drew, give me a guess.
Well, if they coined the term in 1984, 1979.
Ashy.
It's got to be whenever, like, Star Trek first came out, because I know Trekkies was, like, a big thing.
Interesting, okay.
I want to say, like, 1975.
75, all right. The answer to this question is the first fan costuming, as it's called, at science fiction conventions happened at the first World Sci-Fi Convention in New York City in 1939. So Ashley gets that one, technically, by about 4 years.
This is like pre-World War II, and they're dressing up and going to conventions?
Actually, during World War II, Nazism is on the move. They're advancing, and they're like, let's go dress up as a flip-flop.
I want to dress up as a robot.
Yes. as a robot. but cosplay and costuming obviously goes way before that. I mean, 1939 wasn't the first time someone put on a costume. So we have here masquerade balls. Now, this fellow, what's his name? Nobuyuki. He came up with cosplay because he was like, I need something that is separate from masquerade. The word masquerade in Japanese, the equivalent of that, is what it means, the same thing here. It's like supposed to be for aristocrats and, you know, hoity-toity cultures masquerade. You think of the Eyes Wide Shut style mask.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all those, lots of bedazzled.
It's an old-school French term.
Old-school French term, exactly. Yeah,
French royalty, they used to dress up like idiots and run around and probably get drunk and fuck animals or something.
When you go to Italy, like Italy and Epcot, they have those masquerade shops where there's like authentic people that make these masks, and they're gorgeous
because they've been making them for centuries, and that has spread all throughout Europe. So masquerading balls. I'm sticking with that. Started
masquerading. That sounds like you're murdering somebody. It's like a different term for it. It's like a really fancy murder.
Masquerading balls.
I'm going to masquerade you.
No, masquerading balls is the name of my all Rocky Mountain Oysters appetizer restaurant.
I thought you were going to say all mail review.
There we go.
Cool beans.
No, that's my all-male BDSM club, Masquerading Balls. Masquerading Balls.
Do you guys moonlight at the Woodshed?
No, at the Blue Oyster. What was the name of it in Police Academy? The carnival season in the 15th century, Carnival, when they had masquerade balls. People were dressing up, getting all drunk. And really, those tied into like events of like late medieval life, like weddings and things like that. That's when they had these big parties. You mentioned Italy. It extended into Italy in the 16th century Renaissance. And then again, it was like upper class, hoity-toity type shit, these masquerades. China. Earliest instances, recorded instances of costuming, 17th century, late Ming Dynasty. People were dressing up as characters in like works of fiction.
Okay.
So that's like not just historical stuff, but trying to come up with things. Costume parties, fancy dress parties, depending on how you want to term it, started popping in 19th century, North America, England, right? And then there was actually guides. Dudes wrote costume books in the 1800s.
Of course they did.
There's costuming, where is it? Samuel Miller's Male Character Costumes. Ooh. That was written in 1884.
I'm going to have to get that on the Kindle.
And then from 1887, Ardern, there's an extra R in there. Ardern Holt's Fancy Dresses Described.
Mm.
So surely you read these descriptions, maybe so there's drawings in there.
So I know how long or short my coattails should be?
Exactly. And
Shall I be wearing knee-high socks or only ankle-high slippers?
It's so you can nail the height of your stove.
My stovepipe hat?
For Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. And how many curls I should have in my mustache?
Yes. How to bend gracefully so your stovetop hat doesn't hit the door.
How to tape it with the double-sided tape to the inside of your head.
How to tip your hat and take off your monocle at the same time.
How to do all these things.
These are must-reads before every convention,
seriously,
by the way.
They really are.
If you're dressing up as Mr. Peanut...
Well, no, actually, well, you could apply that to Mr. Peanut, but these books really are describing like historical people. Now, a big thing of the 1800s in America and Britain was historical figures, not so much fictional characters.
It reminds me of that garden party book Jim wrote for Dwight on The Office.
Yeah.
Where he throws the worst garden party ever because he doesn't know how to throw one, so Jim writes him a joke book on like what to do.
Yeah.
And he like screaming people's names as they come in to the party, and no, that's not how the party works.
But did it work, though?
In a really bad way, yes.
I'm sure it made for a fine episode of television.
A fine episode of The Office. One of the earliest recorded examples of costuming based on an existing character happened in 1908. They actually very specifically know. It's Mr. and Mrs. William Fell attended a masquerade at a skating rink in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Whoa.
And they were dressed as the famous, world-famous characters, Mr. Skygack and Miss Dill Pickles.
Classic. Whoever the
classic
fuck
characters.
Those people are.
Mr. Skygack was a character that was appearing in Chicago area comics in the newspaper.
Okay.
A comic strip. Yeah. He had a comic strip.
Okay.
And one of the books I put out, there was like a little thing, how to have your own Mr. Skygack outfit, and that became a popular costume. Reflected. It's like the Harley Quinn of the 1910s.
No.
The Deadpool.
The Deadpool, yeah. Yes. God. Exactly. God. It's so easy to do. You just had a big tube on your head, and you put on like a radiation suit, and you're Mr. Skygack from Mars. It's Mr. Skygack, comma.
From Mars.
Wow. From Mars or of Mars? From Mars, yes.
So if there's a Mr., I'm assuming there's a Mrs. Skygack?
I think that's Miss Dill Pickles.
She's not going to marry him.
Yeah.
That's never going to work.
I think it's more of a Moneypenny situation.
Okay.
In 1910, an unnamed woman won first prize at a masquerade ball in Tacoma, Washington, wearing another Skygack costume. No. And the Skygack phenomenon was off and running. The first convention, mentioned it already, 1939, okay, called, it's in New York, the World Science Fiction Convention, but they called it either Worldcon or Nikon. I like Worldcon better. Mm-hmm. Sounds way
yeah.
better, right?
Yeah, but when you say Nikon, I think cameras.
Right!
Oh, yeah. Right. Worldcon sounds intense.
Worldcon's like, whoa! But,
yeah.
But then like 12 people showed up. It's the first
yeah,
one.
I was
the first
about
first
to
beginning.
Say, it's like Isaac Asimov in a book.
Now this
and
is
just
funny.
Like,
convention here. Yeah.
Now, this is funny. All right, so these guys, Forrest J. Ackerman and Myrtle R. Douglas, they showed up to this convention in costumes, wearing their own costumes.
Forrest and Myrtle, man. So American 1930s.
Yeah, Forrest and Myrtle showed up in their futuristic costumes. One word, futuristic costumes. Join at the sea. Just costumes came up with themselves, sort of like sci-fi weird. We're from
the future.
We're
1972.
Like we're Skygak, but we're not, right? Now, okay. Oh, actually, it says here, green cape breeches based on a pulp magazine artwork. They show up to this convention dressed up, and they are the only people in costume at the convention. Old Forrest said that he thought the idea was for everyone to show up in costume, and him and Murder were the only ones who did it. But the next year,
more people
showed up in costume.
Look at that.
Forrest Ackerman had himself an unofficial masquerade party at his hotel room, and then they had an official sort of costume get-together at the convention, and then it was off right there. The second World Con, the second one, Drew.
Yeah, Forrest and Myrtle.
Too bad we couldn't be there.
Let's talk about
cosplay rules. The cosplay rules as you know them now. What comes to mind, Ashley, when you think of cosplay rules? We show up to a convention. What should the convention attendees, or like the unwritten rules that you're supposed
people
to
people that are cosplaying or not?
Both. Anything you can think of. Obviously, the big one is cosplay is not consent. You see these signs
everywhere. Well, obviously, yeah, that's a big one.
Look, don't touch.
Yes. Don't be grabby. you gross dudes.
I think one rule for cosplayers and attendees is just be gracious. Mm-hmm. Be nice to everybody. We're all there for the same thing.
Yeah,
we're all there for some interest we have in something.
And
so,
it's not cool. It's a lot of dudes doing this, gross dudes. But like body shaming people for wearing
a costume.
Oh, I've heard
girls body shaming other girls. Yeah, they're just as guilty.
But I say they do it all the time.
And then it goes in both ways. Maybe a bigger girl in a costume, like, oh, she shouldn't be wearing that. But then like a really good looking girl shows up in a costume, like, I bet she doesn't even know the first thing about Wonder Woman. She's just here to like be in a costume and stuff. You know, maybe meanwhile she'd be like, no, Wonder Woman's my favorite character. I've been reading her since I was a child.
Yeah, if you're hot, you get attacked for either not knowing something or not knowing everything about that character.
Yeah.
And if you're unattractive, you're not doing justice to the
character. Yeah, you're doing it wrong, exactly. Meanwhile, it's guys walking around looking like twice me in their way too small Wolverine costume. So, Drew, bring us back to the beginning. You mentioned not so many middle-aged dudes that would normally be on the show might not be cosplay guys. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of guys out there in there with their big old bellies pretending to be Frank Castle.
It's mostly guys are, I don't want to say they're self-aware, but they kind of know who they look like.
Okay.
And I think if you're going to do something that you look like, you're going to get recognized more. And that's what like all about is like meeting people that like the same thing you do.
Yeah. What's the most popular Jack Black role? Because that's what I would do. School of Rock.
I think School of Rock would be so noticeable.
I'd walk around with like a Gibson guitar. But then I'd have to shave though. I need a bearded role. I'm sticking with Fat John Wick. That works for me.
I mean, yeah. Okay, yeah, just put on a suit.
Put on a suit and be like,
yep.
Honestly, if you put a backwards hat on you, you could totally Silent Bob it up.
No!
Skinnier Silent Bob.
No. Get yourself a trench coat, Chris.
What?
You can be Kevin Smith.
Game over.
I'll pretend to be Jason Mewes. You can be Jane Silent Bob.
Can't get away from it.
He could shave.
Skinny guy, fat guy.
It's not 1990.
That's what I do with my skinny friend.
Ebony Costello.
She's my Jay.
We did do.
We did. You're right. Yeah, we did the Blues Brothers for Halloween.
We did dress up once together. It was for Halloween. Yeah. We did Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
I was
Elwood.
Jake Elwood.
Yeah, I was Elwood.
You're Elwood, and I was.
You would do
Elwood.
A good Home Improvement too.
Yeah, Home Improvement would have been fun. You could be racist Tim Allen, misogynist Tim Allen.
I could have been.
I'd be like, I don't think so, Tim. I love Jim Carn, Al Carn. What's his name? Something Carn. Damn it, my.
It's got to be cool because Al is his
Richard
stage name.
Richard Karn.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Whew. Dick.
Sorry, Dick. Okay. Well, here are some rules. Yes, be gracious. Please be gracious to people. Be nice to each other. You're all the same thing. Be cool. The total be cool bro scenario. Also, I want to point out, you did say a lot of girls doing some of the shaming, but 90% of it is dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's just so rude. Like, you worked so hard on that costume. Like, you don't know the time and effort that person put into what
everyone's
they're wearing.
Everyone's there to have a good time. Y'all paid the price of admission.
Yeah, we're all broke to be here. Like, let's be broke and happy together.
Yes, exactly. Now, here are some rules that did pop up for Worldcon that I'm sure have been adopted by other conventions. First off, The first nude contestant at a Worldcon masquerade was in 1952. The trend continued into the 70s and early 80s.
People just showed up naked?
Fully nude contestants and finding a way to say that it's a costume. That Adam. Eventually, yeah.
People just like being naked.
People do like being naked. So that led to the, quote, no costume is no costume rule. If you show up nude, it's not a costume. You gotta put some.
I can't believe that even needed to be a rule.
Isn't that amazing?
It's illegal to be nude in public.
Yeah, full, full apparently nudity. Not. Full nudity has been banned at costume conventions, at costuming events. You're supposed to wear a costume, people. Obviously, partial nudity is fine, as long as it's representation of the character. Here's another fun rule. 1962, 20th Worldcon, someone showed up with a blaster prop that shot a jet of real flame.
No way.
Yes.
Of course they did.
I'm surprised it took them, let me see, from 39 to 62, a decent amount of time there, over 20
years.
Yeah.
It's just ignorance. People are walking in with real guns.
That's
like,
true,
yeah,
yes.
And no one cares.
I'm a cop this year.
Yeah.
So fire has been banned from conventions at Worldcon.
Does banning fire really stop people, Chris?
That's true. That's
Come on.
Does banning fire stop stupidity?
No.
Do gun laws really work?
No.
Why do we even have murder laws? Criminals are going to murder anyway.
Yeah. I've seen those flame wallets at conventions. There's usually like one guy running like a magic shot.
Because it's that flash paper that just, so you're not going to burn everything down.
No.
Yeah. It's super fast.
Throw it and run.
That stuff is pretty fun, though.
It is.
At the 30th Worldcon, 1972, Scott Shaw, he's an artist, he wore a costume composed largely of peanut butter.
Okay.
It was representing his own underground comics character called...
Peanut Butter Man?
The Mr. Turd.
Peanut. The peanut Turd?
Peanut Butter Man was close. But he carved himself in peanut butter, called himself the turd. Now, here's the problem. The peanut butter was rubbing off.
Yeah.
Doing damage to furnishings and other people's costumes.
Yeah.
And then as the day went on, the peanut butter went rancid in the heat of the convention.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm sure it was just coming off.
Melting
and stinking. It's just fat being cooked.
Yep.
As such, food, odious, and messy substances were banned as costume elements.
Sorry, you're not
allowed. Mr. Shaw's the turd.
Take that, Lady Gaga.
You can't be Mr. Slime.
In your meat dress. You can't come in here.
Can't come here as the embodiment blob of E. coli.
You can't be the blob.
Yeah, it's bad. Conventions in the UK and Japan. Let's talk about it. UK convention. Earliest known instance of costuming at a convention in the United Kingdom happened in the year... Ashley!
Ooh, crap. 1940.
Drew.
1953.
Oh my god, you're lucking out with 1953's girl.
Oh, wow!
Pure luck.
Kapow!
I can't even be mad at that.
Pure luck. London Science Fiction Convention in 1953. It was part of a play, but there was costuming going on. And then at the Liverpool Science Fantasy Society... The Liverpool Science Fantasy Society attended the first CitraCon in UK in 1955. That's in Kittering. Shout out to our listeners in Kittering. Actually, I think Kittering does pop up in our stats. For real.
Wow.
Right between Wolverhampton and Shropshire. It's right there. It's Kittering.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Wolverhampton and Shropshire.
Those are for real places, Drew, that we get downloads in regularly. Like, I've been seeing those names for months.
These are for real.
For real.
What did you think it was? Like, the forest?
Yeah. Hey, actually, I haven't seen pictures. They could be the forest. If you get a good Wi-Fi signal.
It's called Shropshire.
Shropshire.
Just tiny little people.
Shropshire. It's in England.
It's a shire of shrubs.
Shrubs. Shrubs. Not shrubs. Shrubs. Maybe it's an old English word for shrubs. Maybe that's very possible, actually. In Japan.
We are the Knights who say knee, and we demand a shrubbery.
We demand a shrubbery. Now take this red herring and... Mm-hmm. In Japan.
Cut down the tallest tree in the forest.
Costuming at conventions was a fan activity going to at least the 1970s. Comic Cat Convention in December 1975 seems to be the launch of cosplaying in Japan in the 70s. The first documented case happened in Japan at Ashinokan in 1978. That just sounds super.
That does.
I want to go to Ashinokan, especially in 1978.
Oh, it's probably nothing but blenders. There's a room full of blenders. That's it.
Why? Because I'm not fully tracking. Because they're Japanese?
No.
70s Japan? Ashino?
Just a lot of George
because
Takai
impersonators. It's not the thing that you think it is. That's
why. Oh, that's why I'm just showing up and okay, you're just trying to think of something random.
Yes.
Actually, Ashinokan. Stashinokan. It's an Ashi. What's Ashi? The convention. U.S. comic book conventions. Now we're talking about comic books specifically. You're talking about how they started taking over. But here's where they began. When do you think possibly the first costume contest at a comic book convention? When do you think that happened?
1962.
Ashley.
When was this the first time cosplayers? I'm trying to do math. I'm gonna say 1975.
Oh, Drew is close. It's 1965. Right in the middle of the 60s there. At the Broadway Center Hotel in New York. At the first Academy Con. Which was some sort of comic convention.
That doesn't sound as cool.
Not like AshinoCon or CitraCon. That sounds like...
That sounds like a Florida one.
It sounds like a room full of oranges.
It's CYTRI. But yes, it does sound like a
room full of oranges. You see them kumquats this year?
They look delicious.
You get some of them Pampalooses. I already said that. First Masquerade Ball held at San Diego Comic-Con. You guys know what that is. Was 1974. Which was the year's sixth event. So at the sixth San Diego Comic-Con was when they started doing costuming. 1975, Rocky Horror Picture Show came out. That's a big thing for
that,
costuming.
I feel like that was like probably, if not the first movie, like huge cosplay that...
Absolutely.
Almost like the Harley Quinn and the Deadpool.
No. Exactly, where it's like... So the movie came out in 75 and 76, which times out with San Diego Comic-Con introducing masquerading. The very next year, people were showing up in Rocky Horror Picture Show outfits. So, like, it hit the zeitgeist hard and fast. The first instance, absolutely.
My mom grew up in New York in the 70s, and she remembers going to the theater at midnight and the whole thing.
Yeah.
The costumes, the props, people throwing rice at the wedding.
Yeah, now people go to screens of the room, and they throw spoons at the screen.
I want to do that so bad.
I'd do that.
You do?
I would do
it. Yeah. Is it at the Enzian?
No. Oh. Has it ever been at the Enzian since we've been aware of the room? I don't think so.
No, the only times I've seen it is on DVD.
Are we going to have to organize the screen in the room?
Can
we get a better movie for? I know, right?
Please? Right before the Disaster Artist came out.
We'll do a good movie.
Best time to
please.
Do that.
Yes, right. Yes. How come they didn't? Probably because rental rates for the room were pretty high right around that time. Which that's what it was. 1984. Oh yes, this brings us to 1984. Our good friend from the top of the show, Nobuyuki Takahashi, from Studio Hard, naming cosplay at the 42nd Worldcon that year, taking place in Los Angeles. You know what happened in Japan in the 1990s? Cosplay cafes. Yes. In the Akihabara area of Tokyo.
That means nothing to me, Chris.
Shout out to our Tokyo listeners in Wolverhampton and Shropshire. They know what's going on. For example, it's like cafes that have like the waitresses.
I see those
all...
maid cafes. Like,
yes.
Okay.
Maid cafes are the biggest ones. So they do, a lot of costumes apparently.
They had one at MechaCon. They were hiring girls to put on these little maid outfits and wigs and walk around.
And there's a maid cafe in Cloud Atlas, right? Isn't that sort of a maid cafe that the robot lady works at?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so.
Clone Lady.
Clone Lady, yes, thank you. Apologies to Clone Lady. Very different thing. Mm-hmm. Robot Lady is, I'm thinking, the Wind-Up Girl. Great book. Okay, so a temporary maid cafe was set up in the Tokyo Character Collection event, August 1998. This is to prevent a video game. Drew, I'm sure you remember this game, one of your favorites. Welcome to Pia Carrot 2.
What?
Welcome to Pia Carrot 2.
I didn't know there was a second one.
I know. The first one was so good. I was like, I never made a second
one.
Crying
the whole way through that story.
So for that game, to promote that game, they came up with a maid cafe. And then the maid cafe kept popping up in the subsequent years at the same place to keep promoting the game. But then they're like, yo, this game came out in 1997. We need to find out a reason. So they reworked the cafe because it was so popular. And then maid cafes became a thing based off of the whole cosplay thing.
It's like cosplay Hooters.
Yes.
But a little classier.
Slightly classier.
I'm not sure about that.
A little Frenchified. A little Frenchified.
Doesn't make it classy.
It doesn't?
No.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking...
If anything, it just makes it dirty and drunk and probably smell like cigarettes.
No, it's maid, so it makes it cleaner.
Yeah, and they're in those little Japanese like outfits, and they've got the little hats.
Better than the...
They're covered up.
It's better than the orange shorts with the...
I thought you were going to say tans. I'm like, yeah, those tans.
They do have orange tans.
Also, for our, any people going to Tokyo, if you want to check this out, Tokyo's Harajuku. Take two.
Come on, go, Chris.
All right, guys. Welcome to Cinema Chris. So, I'm your host, Chris Creswell. We're doing a whole episode on cosplay and conventions. I am joined by Drew Sakagawa. And Drew,
thank you.
Just do the whole episode, the whole thing. And then I get to the same part and screw it up. Tokyo's Harajuku District is the favorite informal gathering place to engage in cosplay in public. Events in Akihabara also draw many cosplayers. That's where you'll find the main cafes. The first World Cosplay Summit. This is invitation only. Was held in October 2003 at the Rose Court Hotel in Nagoya, Japan. That's right.
I know somebody that was actually invited 2 years ago.
Get out of here! Yeah. And did they go?
She went. She had a great time. She was actually on Sci-Fi's short-lived show, Heroes of Cosplay.
Oh, no shit. So she must have known what the fuck she was doing.
She's amazing.
There were this represents usually like 20 countries around the world. They get people to come do this thing. Invite-only masquerade contest, I think, straight up. The World Cosplay Championship. Began in 2005, so that's what it was. That's pretty impressive. Single largest event featuring cosplay. Can you imagine the smell?
Oh God, yeah.
Ashley, tell me about the smell.
The smell. It's getting better with time.
Because people are learning?
Well, no, I think conventions are just getting popular. More popular, so more people with better hygiene are going.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
But it's a lot of people crammed into a small, like, it's big, but everybody in there, it gets so tight.
Yeah, and it gets hot in there, yeah.
And yeah, a lot of people, this is their, like, only time body ever heat. Venturing out for a social interaction.
Oh, true. Yes.
And yeah, this smells.
Brutal. Yeah. All right, well, imagine the smell. At Comic Market, Comic Cat, held in Japan twice a year, summer and winter.
There is a video online that shows the staging for the entrance for that.
Really?
And it is a marvel to behold.
Really? Any chance you could find it and post it to the Cinema Crispy So Facebook group?
I wonder, maybe.
And people are like, what the hell is this? And then they'll hear this episode, like, oh, that's why Drew posted this.
Totally random video.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of just lines
keep
moving.
Keep them thinking.
Yeah,
just...
really? Yeah.
No, dude, it's massive.
Are people trying to get in?
No,
I'd love to see that. Post
the way they cue it, they have... Yeah. It's crazy. I'm going to see if
Comic Cat attracts...
What's it called again?
Comic Cat. C-O-M-I-K-E-T. Comic Market. Comic Cat. Attracts hundreds of thousands of manga and anime fans, where thousands of cosplayers congregate on the roof of the exhibition center. That sounds dangerous.
On the roof?
Yeah. Ashley, when was the last time you've been on the roof of the Orange County Convention Center in a masquerade party?
I've gotten lost there. I'm honestly shocked I haven't been on the roof. But never.
All right.
Hopefully that never happens.
Not going part
I'm
of
doing
the
like
war.
A really there cool Spider-Gwen photo shoot.
Actually, that would be cool.
And an ambulance is nearby.
Boom! Just in case. You got it?
Oh.
Post it to the group, Drew. Facebook group.
I don't know how to do it.
Copy the link and then just make a post.
I don't know how to do it. My phone's freaking out.
Sorry, Drew's phone's freaking out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the sound of Drew's phone freaking out. In North America, the highest attended fan conventions, guys, you know the answer to this.
San Diego Comic-Con.
And New York Comic-Con as well, 100%. Yeah, I'm not watching now. I'm doing a show. Look, here.
I don't know how to do it.
You hit this button up here. Look, I copied the link, okay? Now, Facebook,
I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, he's supposed to show me how to do it, not do it for me.
Look, and then...
when you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day.
No, this guy doesn't...
See,
he's not gonna...
Instead of teaching me, he's just gonna do it.
See, now screw it up. Now you're just posting it to Facebook under your own page.
Damn it.
The anime-specific Anime North in Toronto is the highest attended convention in Canada.
Okay.
And Otakon is also in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, and the Anime Expo in LA are the biggest anime conventions in America. Europe's largest event, we'll end it with this little factoid. Europe's largest event is held in Paris, and it is called the Japan Expo.
Ooh, confusing.
What a lame name.
That's like the Iceland-Greenland thing.
Yes, right? Man, except Iceland's getting more and more green now. No, yeah, Greenland's getting more and more green. It's not just now they're both just green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because all the ice is melting.
And we're going to die.
Everywhere.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yay.
We'll be fine. It's cool. We got conventions coming up. We're going to dress up in costumes. So the only thing Drew and I have ever done costume-wise, and it's funny we even did it, it was for the SBK Live Halloween party.
Yeah, it was.
We did the Blues Brothers outfit.
Yep.
Well,
we're both looking for something cheap to dress up as.
Cheap
like,
and easy.
And it's just like, oh, all I need is a black hat and a black suit.
How long ago was this? Was this
2013?
I think so.
2014?
Yeah. Was it the Church Street Block Party?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was at the now defunct Why Not Lounge.
Yes. Shut the front door.
Yes, at the no longer Howard Johnson Hotel.
Oh my God. I've spent many a nights underage drinking in that place.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
This board is not as reactive as I want it to be tonight. It's kind of sad that a place has gone out. I'm just getting to the right age to really appreciate the cheesiness and the...
Well, now we got to go all the way to the Orlando Improv for stand-up. Because I used to go there for a lot of stand-up
Yeah, they did
shows.
A lot of stuff there, yeah. And Kevin SBK had a working relationship with people there, so that's why I was like, come on, do your party here. And then, like, they gave discounts to people to get shitty hotel rooms, so I got a shitty hotel room, ended up becoming the green room. Everyone up there smoked mad blunts.
I did it.
Yeah, Drew did it!
I did it. I figured it out on my own.
Drew knows technology, Ashley. This guy,
barely.
He's only on Facebook and Instagram, and that's it. He got off all the social medias.
It can be overwhelming at times.
Overwhelming? I was on all these platforms, and seriously, like, the last time I pressed the app button was like a year ago on most of them.
Yeah,
so it's just like, gone.
Gone, gone.
Yeah.
Speaking of the overwhelmingness of social media, Ashley, where can people find you online? We already went over Instagram. Do you have any other ones you want to
follow?
You can also
follow my Facebook page. Go and like that page. It's just Dashbox One Word Cosplay.
There you go.
And that's about it.
All right. And second rounds, of course. And
Of course. PodcastCity.net. Mm-hmm. You can find all of our great shows on there, like Second Rounds Florida and New York Edition.
Yeah, New York Edition, yeah.
Yeah, and the Phoenix Gate just got added to there as well.
There you go. See, I was so confused. It's like, oh, there's another show.
Look
at this.
That show.
And then a whole bunch of things got reposted. I was like, oh, man, let me check this out real quick. I don't know nothing.
You're fine.
If I don't have this in front of me, I got nothing.
There are a
lot of you. I was trying to listen to an episode. I was like, there's like six voices.
Oh, yeah. No, Saturday when we went live, there was about seven of us. And a toddler just randomly running through, grabbing the camera.
It reminded me of when we did 1K away. I was like, immediately, there's a kid in the background running around. Yep. And just a bunch of voices. I'm just going to sit here and smoke my pen.
Yep. And talk.
And drink my high lives and have a good time. Ashley is easy to pick out in all the episodes, though, because I can see you.
It's the
chick on the show.
Yeah. Yes, true.
The wonderful issue with podcasting. Bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, thank you for...
So many dudes.
Thank you for coming and chicking it up with us and giving us some perspective on the cosplay stuff. That was awesome. Drew, thank you.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate it. Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will be back this weekend with hopefully our guest. I have to confirm, so I'm afraid to you know what? I'm not going to tease it. I didn't confirm it, so I'm not going to tease it.
There we go. All right.
It's a mystery, guys. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
A PFT Media production.